growing tensions between the world's major powers present new dangers to multilateralism, global trade, and the stability of the world order, says leading American diplomat Richard Haass. Speaking exclusively to the IBA, the president of the Council on Foreign Relations assesses the fault lines in international relations, including the trade war between the US and China, the threats from populism, and America's role in world affairs. Haass has been at the forefront of US foreign affairs for more than 30 years. He was a close advisor to former Secretary of State Colin Powell and served in key positions coordinating the Northern Ireland peace process and US policy in Afghanistan. He begins by outlining the threats facing the global order.
There's lots of reasons to be concerned by the trend lines in international relations. One is the revival of great power, competition, frictions, and potentially worse. Obviously, U.S.-Chinese and U.S.-Russian relations are far rougher than they were just a few years ago. We see what Russia did in Ukraine, the reemergence of the acquisition of territory by force, which is a violation of what many consider to be the most basic law or norm of international relations. You see Russian interference in American and European elections. We see the United States introducing all sorts of tariffs, which is a real threat to the global trading order. The United States now has gotten out of any number of international agreements. Multilateralism is under pressure. Alliance relationships are under pressure. Institutions created after World War II are now getting a bit long in the tooth, and in many cases haven't kept up with new power balances or new technologies.
Haass also says the US should be stronger and more consistent in its condemnation of human rights abuses around the world.
I worry that people in the administration aren't always connecting the dots. Another example would be recently that we were very rough on China on the anniversary of the Tiananmen Square events. And the administration, the State Department, issued a very tough criticism of China, which is fair enough in principle. But it would have been a lot more impressive if the United States had been critical of other governments that have been trampling human rights, including Russia, including Turkey, including the Philippines, and so forth and so on. And so any time we are selective or inconsistent in our application of principle, I believe we create openings for others or justifications for others. This administration didn't invent it, by the way. It's interesting that what we did against Libya under the Obama administration and situations like that are then cited as justification for Crimea. My point is just simply that we've got to be really careful about precedents, about inconsistencies, about selective justifications for actions.
Haass goes on to discuss the more polarized nature of politics and society today.
The truth is it's harder and harder to get a governing center. What we just saw, say, in these elections for the European Parliament, were traditional parties associated with the center that have dominated European politics for a long time were weakened, and smaller parties more to the left or the right did better. And in our own country, in the Democratic Party, you see strong voices on the political left. You see the Republican Party is not the traditional Republican Party, but now essentially has moved on any number of issues away from the center. What we see is a much more polarized, divided electorate, and we see that manifested in the Congress. And there's all sorts of reasons to account for it, from social media to narrow casting rather than broadcasting on places like cable, to how we raise money, to the weakening of political parties.
He foresees danger in potential coalitions between populist groups on different sides of the political divide.
We're seeing it in Italy, and that's not an attractive model, and I think the problems it will cause for Italy and for Europe potentially be considerable. One could imagine a version of it in France, where for the Yellow Vest types and some types in the former National Front find a way to work together. And again, even in this country, we're seeing elements of left and right agree on certain issues. We see it on trade, where at times it's hard to see some of the differences between the Trump administration and some of the people running for the Democratic nomination. I just think we have to be wary that this kind of anti-establishment mood could create some strange bedfellows, and they may not necessarily always agree on what they're for, but they could agree on what it is they're against. And the problem with the politics of agreeing on what you're against is you tend to disrupt before you come to any agreement on what it is you replace it with.
Alluding to the trade war between the US and China, Haas raises concerns over the use of tariffs and the potential impact on the global trading order.
My view is trade was fairly resilient, and this is despite the failure of the last global trade round, the Doha round, to come to fruition. Global trade volume was still up, and I thought that was a good sign. I mean, even though the United States declined to join the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the other 11 countries went ahead and did it. But what we're seeing now is a much greater use of tariffs to accomplish all sorts of ends, some of which are trade-related, some of which are not. Some of the use of these tariffs is wildly inconsistent with our trade obligations. I'm more worried than I was because we're beginning to set in motion a series of steps that others now are emulating to some extent. And even though at the moment the World Trade Order is holding up, it is robust, it does reflect collective self-interest, some recent developments have got to give anybody pause.
President Trump's disruptive approach to diplomacy and government is also assessed by Haas.
He doesn't seem to have much time for multilateralism. He has said certain things that I believe are inappropriate for a president to say, a president of a democracy to say, in terms of his attacks on the independence of the judiciary, in terms of his comments about the media and calling the media at times enemies of the people. He's also been willing to overlook all sorts of transgressions on the part of others vis-a-vis human rights or democracy around the world and overlooking any number of authoritarian systems. The president does have a very personal style. He's not the first president to come along and personalize diplomacy, but this president has taken it to a different degree, to say the least. In the United States, fortunately, you know, checks and balances still exist, but this White House has taken to levels we haven't seen, claims of executive privilege, ignoring certain congressional requests. Congress has also over the years granted authorities to this administration, and this administration is using them in ways that were not necessarily intended. So this administration is operating in a zone that I would simply say in many ways lacks precedence within the United States.
Haas considers the president's strong views on world affairs and trade, but says he disagrees.
He feels very strongly that the costs of American foreign policy over the decades are not justified and that they're much greater than the alleged benefits. He and I disagree about that, but so be it. Secondly, he looks at trade arrangements and bylaws, feels the United States has been taken advantage of regularly. On balance, I believe trading arrangements have served our, not just our economic, but our strategic interests. Both of those subjects he and I have discussed, and all I can say is he feels passionately about it. There's no political opportunism on those issues. I believe that we and our trading partners and our allies have all benefited. The fact that they've benefited for the most part has not come at our expense.
Haas also discusses the limits of the U.S. courts in protecting American democracy.
There's probably a limit to which one can look to the courts as the protection, if you will, of American democracy. My background's in foreign policy, and we often used to say, don't ask too much of arms control. This one form of diplomacy couldn't resolve all sorts of differences between the United States and the Soviet Union during the Cold War. And I'd almost use something similar about the courts. Don't ask too much of the courts. My sense is that they alone cannot substitute for what the self-policing of the executive branch, what other institutions in the executive branch need to do, what the Congress needs to do.